Ik groet u allen in de wonderbare naam van onze Heer en Heiland, onze Heer Jezus Christus, die is gegeven alle macht in de hemel en op de aarde. Ja, luisteraars, het is tijd voor het Bijbelleesplan. En u weet, het Bijbelleesplan komt van Gospel Radio Sefania, waar onze Heer Jezus Christus centraal staat. Trouwe God en Vader, we danken u voor uw liefde en uw grootheid. We danken u voor uw barmhartigheid, mijn Heiland. We danken u, Vader, voor uw liefde, Vader, dat u ons hebt getrokken van de duisternis naar uw wonderbaar licht, Vader. Vader, daarom dragen wij alles in uw Heilands door beide handen, Vader. We zetten alles voor uw genade troon, wat op deze wereld rondgaat, Vader Jezus. En we danken u, Vader, dat u het antwoord bent op alles, Vader. Vader, we danken u, Vader, voor alles, voor de wereldvrede. We danken u voor alle gospels, radio's. We danken u voor alle bestanden die gehouden worden. We danken u, Vader, voor alles, Vader Jezus, dat u het gaat doen, Vader. Vader, want u hebt het laatste woord, mijn Heiland. U bent onze voorziener, mijn Heiland. U bent onze toevlucht, mijn Heiland. U bent onze goede herder. U bent onze helper, groot van kracht en steeds bereid, Vader. O Vader, we danken u dat wij u hebben, Vader Jezus Christus. En u vraagt van ons geloof, Vader, voor alles, Vader Jezus. Vader, en gehoorzaamheid. Vader, we danken u dat u ons helpt, Vader Jezus. Vader, en we leggen alles in uw handen, Vader. Ook alle landen van de wereld, Vader, brengen wij voor uw genade troon, Vader. Want wij hebben, Vader Jezus, de volle verlossing van u gehad gekregen, Vader. We hebben verlossing van u gehad, Vader. U hebt ons verlost en bevrijd. U hebt ons genezen. U hebt ons allen wijsheid gegeven, Vader. En uw woord, Vader Jezus Christus. Vader, we danken u, Vader Jezus, dat wij u hebben. Vader, en dat wij op u kunnen rekenen, Vader, opdat wij de andere landen en alle scholen, allen wat dicht is, alles wat dicht is, voor u doen, brengen, Vader. En we danken u, Vader, dat u het gaat doen, Vader. We prijzen uw naam en we verheerlijken uw naam, Vader. We danken u voor alle bestanden die gehouden worden, Vader. We danken u, Vader, voor de zendingsvelden. We danken u voor alles, Vader Jezus. We leggen ze in uw Heiland door beide handen, want u kent ze, Vader. U ziet alles, Vader. Vader, dank u wel dat wij u dit mogen brengen, Vader. We brengen ook de kinderen voor uw troon, Vader. Dank u wel. Alle huizen, alle deuren, al overal, Vader, dekken wij onder uw kostbaar en dierbaar bloed, Vader. Dank u wel, Vader Jezus Christus, voor het verlossingswerk op Golgotha, Vader. Dank u, Vader. Glorie en aanbidding voor uw wonderbare en machtige Jezusnaam. Luisteraars, we gaan lezen uit Jesaja, hoofdstuk 37. Maar we beginnen bij 37, hoofdstuk 8. We gaan eerst naar onze ochtendtekst. Onze ochtendtekst zegt: ziet, God is ons een helper. Psalm 54, vers 6. Is het leven moeilijk en vol bittere pijn? Leer gij, o Heere, ons stille zijn. Want gij kent immers geheel ons hart. En gij hebt balsem voor elke smart. al dreigen golven, al loeit de orkaan. Met uw geleide is het veilig gaan. En uit de hemel, zo eindeloos teer, ziet ge in ontferming op ons neer. Mits in geloven het oog u ziet, want zij die twijfelen berusten niet. Ziet, God is ons een helper. Psalm 54, vers 6. Luisteraars, we gaan naar Jesaja hoofdstuk 37, beginnend bij vers 8. Sanherib hernieuwde de poging om Jeruzalem tot overgave te brengen. Pardon, dat overgave te bewegen. En toen de maarskalk terugkeerde, vond hij de koning van Assur strijdend tegen Libna. Want hij had gehoord dat hij van Lachish opgebroken was. Doch toen deze aangaande de Tirhaka, de koning van Ethiopië, vernam, hij is opgetrokken om tegen u te strijden. Toen hij dat hoorde, zond hij gezanten naar Hiskia met deze opdracht. Zo zult gij zeggen dat Hiskia, de koning van Juda, laat uw God op wie gij vertrouwt u niet bedriegen, door te zeggen, Jeruzalem zal niet in de macht van de koning van Assur gegeven worden. Zie, gij zelf hebt gehoord wat de koningen van Assur met alle landen gedaan hebben door ze met de ban te slaan. Zoudt gij dan gered worden? Hebben soms de goden der volken die mijn vaderen vernietigd hebben en gered? Gozan, Haran, Rezef en de bewoners van Eden in Telazar. Waar is de koning van Hamat, de koning van Harpat, de koning van de stad Sefarwaim, Anhena en van Ewa? Vers 14, Hiskia's gebed. En Hiskia nam dat brief in de hand der gezanten en las hem. Toen ging Hiskia op naar het huis des Heren, spreide hem uit voor het aangezicht des Heren en bad tot de Heren. Heren der Heerscharen, God van Israël, die op de Gerub troon. Gij alleen zijt God over alle koninkrijken der aarde. En gij hebt de hemel en de aarde gemaakt. Neigt, Heere, uw oor en hoor. Open, Heere, uw ogen en zie. En zie, hoor al de woorden van Sanherib die hij heeft doen overbrengen om de levende God te honen. Waarlijk, Heere, de koningen van Assur hebben alle landen en hun gebied verwoest en hun goden in het vuur geworpen, want het waren geen goden, maar die slecht maaksel van mensenhanden, hout en steen. Daarom hebben zij die kunnen vernietigen. Nu dan, Heere, hoor onze God, verlos ons uit zijn macht. Dan zullen alle koninkrijken der aarde weten dat gij, Heere, alleen God zijt. Vers 21, tweede voorzegging van Jeruzalems bevrijding. Toen zond Jesaja, de zoon van Amos, tot Hiskia deze boodschap. Zo zegt de Heere, de God van Israël, daar gij tot mij gebeden hebt, betreffende Sanherib en de koning van Assur. Dit is het woord dat de Heere over hem spreekt. Zij veracht u, zij bespot u, de jongvrouw, de dochter Sions. Zij schudt het hoofd achter u, de dochter van Jeruzalem. Wie heb gij gehoond en gelasterd en tegen wie de stem verheven en uw ogen trots opgeslagen? Tegen de heilige Israël, door uw dienaren, hebt gij de Heere gewoond en gezegd, met de menigte mijner wakens bestijg ik de hoogte der bergen tot ver in de Libanon. Ik vel zijn statige zeders, de keur zijn er cypressen. Ik bereik zelfs zijn hoogte top, zijn wederlijk woud. Ik graaf en drink water. Ik leg mijn voet als nijlpaden. Ik leg mijn voetzool als alle nijlarmen van Egypte droog. Heb gij het dan niet gehoord dat ik het van overlang bereid en het van de dagen van ouds vorm gegeven heb? En nu heb ik het doen komen. Gij moest de versterkte steden verwoesten tot puin open. Haar inwoners werden machteloos, verslagen en beschaamd. Zij werden tot kruid van het veld of tot jonggroen, tot gras op de daken of tot een korenveld, eer het tot rijpheid komt. Maar ik ken u zitten, u uitgaan en ingaan en u razen tegen mij. Omdat gij tegen mij gezegd geraasd hebt en overmoed tot mijn oren is opgestegen, zal ik mijn haak in uw neus slaan en mijn bit in uw mond leggen en u doen terugkeren langs de weg die gij gekomen zijt. En dit zal u een teken zijn. Gij zult dit jaar eten van wat zelf opkomt. En in het tweede jaar wat na was, maar zaait in het derde jaar en oogst, plant en wijngaarden. En eet de vrucht daarvan. Immers, wat van het huis van Juda ontkomen is, wat over is, dat zal opnieuw naar beneden wortels schieten en naar boven vrucht dragen. Want van Jeruzalem zal een overblijfsel uitgaan en van de berg Sion wat ontkomen zal. De ijver van de Heere der Heerscharen zal dit doen. Daarom, zo zegt de Heere van de koning van Assur, hij zal in deze stad niet komen. Hij zal geen pijl daarin schieten, geen schild daar teken opheffen en geen wal daar teken opwerpen. Langs de weg die hij gekomen is, zal hij terugkeren. Maar in deze stad zal hij niet komen, luidt het woord des Heren. En ik zal deze stad beschutten om haar te verlossen om mijnentwil en ter wille van mijn knecht David. Vers 30, de verlossing. En toen ging de engel des Heren uit en sloeg in het leger van Assur 185.000 man. Toen men vroeg in de morgen opstond, zie zij allen waren lijken. Dus bracht Sanherib, de koning van Assur, op en aanvaarde de terugtocht en hij bleef dan in die vee. Eens toen hij zich neerboog, is de tempel van zijn God, Nisroch, doden, zijn zonen, Adramelech en Sarezer, hem met een zwaard, doch zij ontkwamen naar het land Ararat. En zijn zoon, Esaradon, werd koning in zijn plaats. En vers 38, hoofdstuk 38, Hizkia ziekte en genezing. En in die dagen werd Hizkia ten dode ziek. Toen kwam de profeet Jesaja, de zoon van Amos, tot hem en zeide tot hem: Zo zegt de Heere, tref beschikkingen voor uw huis, want gij zult sterven en niet herstellen. Toen keerde Hizkia zijn gelaat naar de wand en bad tot de Heere zijn en zeide: Ach Heere, gedenk toch dat ik voor uw aangezicht in trouw en met volkomen toegewijdheid gewandeld heb en gedaan heb wat goed is in uw ogen. En Hizkia weende luid. En toen kwam het woord des Heeren tot Hizkia: Ga, zeg tot Hizkia. En toen kwam het woord des Heeren tot Jesaja: Ga en zeg tot Hizkia: Zo zegt de Heere, de God van uw vader David: Ik heb uw gebed gehoord. Ik heb uw tranen gezien. Zie, ik zal aan uw levensdagen 15 jaar toevoegen. En ik zal voor u en deze stad uit de macht van de koning van Assur redden. En deze stad beschutten. En dit zal u het teken zijn van des Heeren kant. Dat de Heere ook doen zal wat hij gesproken heeft. Zie, ik doe de schaduw op de treden waarlangs zij door de zon op de trap van Achas is afgedaald, weer 10 treden teruggaan. En de zon ging 10 treden terug en de treden die zij gedaald was. En Hizkia's dankgebed. En geschrift van Hizkia, de koning van Juda, toen hij ziek geweest en van zijn ziekte hersteld was. Ik zeide: In de bloei mijner dagen moet ik heen gaan door de poorten van het dodenrijk. Ik zal derven de rest mijner jaren. Ik zeide: Ik zal de Heere niet zien en de Heere in het land der levenden. Ik zal geen mens meer aanschouwen onder de bewoners der wereld. Mijn woning werd gebroken en van mij weggerukt, als de tent van een herder. Ik wikkelde mijn leven samen als een wever. Hij snijdt mij af van de drom. Dag en nacht geef gij mijn prijs. Tot aan de morgen zoek ik tot rust te komen. Als een leeuw, zo verbreek hij al mijn beenderen. Dag en nacht geef gij mijn prijs. Als een zwaluw, zo krip ik. Ik keer als een duif. Mijn ogen smachten naar de hoge. O Heere, ik ben angstig. Wees borg voor mij. Wat zal ik zeggen dat hij tot mij gesproken heeft en hij het ook gedaan heeft? Ik zal al mijn jaren voortschrijden na dit bittere zielenleed. Heere, bij deze dingen leeft men. Ja, in die alle is het leven van mijn geest. Dat gij mij zult gezond maken en doen leven. Zie, mijn bittere beproeving werd tot heil. Gij toch zijt het die mijn leven gered hebt van de groeven der vernietiging. Want gij hebt al mijn zonden achter uw rug geworpen. Want het dodenrijk looft u niet. De dood prijst u niet. Wie in de groeven zijn nedergedaald, hopen niet op uw trouw. Maar de levende, en looft u, zoals ik heden doe. De Vader maakt zijn Zoon u trouw bekend. De Heere is gereed om mij te verlossen. Daarom doen wij het snarenspel klinken al de dagen van ons leven in het huis des Heren. Jesaja nu had gezegd, men neemt een vijgenkoek en legt die op de zweer. Dan zal hij genezen. En Hiskia had gezegd, wat is het teken dat ik zal opgaan naar het huis des Heren? Ja, luisteraars, dit is de geschiedenis van Hiskia, weer een geschiedenis van geloof. Want Hiskia zegt hier, Heere, het dodenrijk looft u niet. Het dodenrijk prijst u niet. Wie in de groeven zijn nedergedaald, hopen niet op uw trouw. Maar de levende, hij looft u. Zoals ik heden doe. De Vader maakt zijn Zonen uw trouw bekend. En de Heere is gereed om mij te verlossen, zegt Hiskia. En dan zeggen wij, de Heere is gereed om ons te verlossen. Daarom doen wij het snarenspel klinken. Daarom geloven wij niet in angst en vrees. Maar wij geloven in de ene God van Hiskia. Die gezegd heeft, Hiskia zegt, het dodenrijk prijst u niet. En de Heere moet horen dat wij niet angstig zijn. We moeten gehoorzaam zijn, maar we moeten ons toch blij in binnen ons tonen dat wij kinderen God zijn. Dat wij niet hoeven te schrikken voor een woord, maar wij moeten geloven in de God van Hiskia. Want hij redt, hij bevrijdt. En hij geneest. En zo moeten wij allemaal doorgaan met in het geloof van onze Heere Jezus Christus. Wat er ook gezegd is, lieve luisteraars, wij gehoorzamen. Maar wij moeten geloven diep in onze Heere wat hij doet. Want hij is zeer barmhartig en liefdevol voor ons. Ik groet u allen dat u hebt geluisterd en de Heere zegene u en wij blijven zeggen, het dodenrijk prijst de Heer niet. Het dodenrijk looft de Heer niet, maar wij levende, wij geven hem de eer, de lof en de dank dat hem toekomt. Want hij redt, hij bevrijdt, hij verlost. Niets is te groot en niks is te wonderbaar voor hem. De Heer is wonderbare raadsman. Hij is de sterke God. Hij is de vredevorst. Hij is de leeuw van Juda. Hij is de overwinnaar. En wij zijn met hem meer dan overwinnaar. Ik groet u allen met broeder Cor en zuster Marlene zo tezamen in de wonderbare naam van onze Heer en Heiland, de wonderbare raadsman, de sterke God. Amen.
Amen, zuster Emma. Dank u wel. Zo, de Heer het leidt. Horen wij u morgen om dit woord aan ons door te geven.
Dank u wel, broeder Cor.
Goedenacht hè, en tot morgen.
Ja, broeder Cor.
Dag, zusje.
De Bijbel is niet te groot voor mij op dit ogenblik, hoor.
Dat weet ik wel, hoor.
De Heer heeft zoveel alle wonderen gedaan.
Amen.
Alle wonderen. En daarom moeten we zijn naam prijzen nog. Danken, broeder Cor. Echt waar.
Dat is het enige wat wij kunnen doen, is dat doen.
We moeten ons geen schrik aanjagen.
Nee.
En daarom zeg ik, we moeten gehoorzaam zijn aan de woorden wat wij horen, maar we moeten in God geloven.
Zo is het.
Dank u wel, broeder Cor.
Tot morgen,
Marlene.
Zal ik doen.
Ja, dank broeder Cor.
Dag, Susanne. En dat was zuster Emma met het openingsgebed in het Bijbelleesplan en de prachtige uitleg. Nu tijd voor Pastor Samuel Lee met een gedeelte van een gesproken woord.
This program is presented to you by Samuel Lee World Evangelism. Our goal is to reach the entire world with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to educate man with the universal principles of God and to co-partner with Christ in liberating man from all forms of evil and injustice. For more information on Dr. Samuel Lee's ministry, please visit www.slwe.net.
Please open with me the book of Psalms, chapter 74, verse 17. Yes, it will be also on our screen. The book of Psalms, chapters, not songs, but Psalms. Yeah, you know that we have all our accents, eh? P-S-A-L-M, Psalms. Chapter 74, please. Chapter 74. And some of you don't have your Bibles, you can read it on the screen. Chapter 74, verse 17 is only one verse, but a very important verse. It was you, that means God, it was you who set all boundaries of the earth, and you made both summer and winter. That's all. That's the text for today. The Bible says it was you, that means God, who made the boundaries of the earth. And it was you who made summer and winter. Ladies and gentlemen, today I want to talk to you about borders. I want to talk to you about boundaries. Borders, boundaries. Everything in this world has a border. Are you listening to me? Everything in this world has a boundary. Nations have a boundary. That's why we call Holland, Holland, Germany, Germany. Ghana, Ghana, Nigeria, Nigeria. There are boundaries for nations, isn't it? Everything in the world has a boundary. It has a border. Cities have a border. That is why we call Amsterdam, Amsterdam, Utrecht, Utrecht, London, London, Paris, Paris. Every city has a boundary. Or every city has a border. Every village has a boundary. Every village has a border. Hello? Actually, brothers and sisters, everything in this world has a boundary. Nations, cities, villages, every house has a boundary. That is why you call your own house your house. It is your house. Your neighbor house is your neighbor house. Every house has a boundary. Hello. Even time has a boundary. You know that. Time has a boundary. Spring, 21st March, is the beginning of spring. It's a boundary. Summer is 21st of June, is a boundary. There is time of spring, there is time of summer, there is time of autumn, there is time of winter. Even seasons have boundaries. Are you listening to me? But also, my friend, every human being has a boundary. And every human being has a border. And today, I want to speak to you about borders in relationship. Borders in relationship. There is obviously a problem in the body of Christ today. As I preached last time to you, Christians have relationship problems. Many Christians have husband and wife problems. Many Christians have problems in their marriages. They have problems with their children. They have problems with their friends. And I'm talking about Christians. And you know why there are problems in the body of Christ, in our relationship? Because we don't know our borders. And every relationship has a border. It has a boundary. And I want you to listen very carefully to me, so that your life will be changed. Listen to me. We are tired of messages that say, God will bless you, God will help you, God will give you a golden teeth, God will give you a golden dust, God is going to make you a millionaire. We are tired of those messages. We want a real life message that is dealing with the real life things of life, so that we're going to move on, we're going to change our society, we're going to change the people around us. Hello, we are tired of wishy-washy message. There was one prophet, he went to a conference. He was preaching to somebody, prophesying. He said, you're gonna ride on Mercedes-Benz. You're going to ride on Mercedes-Benz. God told me. And the man said, my brother, I am a dealer of Mercedes-Benz. I have a big showroom in London. You don't need no prophecy to somebody tell you you drive Mercedes-Benz. We are tired of those things. We want to deal with real things of real life, so that we're going to go advance for the kingdom of God. And obviously, there is a problem within the kingdom of God, and that is relationship. Relationship. Every relationship, every human being, including you, have a border. And everything in this world, my friend, has a price. Even you have a price. And I have a price. But that price, Christ Jesus paid for us. That is why we are sitting here and shouting hallelujah. Because somebody paid that price for us on the cross in Calvary. Praise God. So, everything has a boundary. Everything has a border. Cities, villages, houses, but also people, also relationship. Human relationship has a boundary. And one of the boundaries we have is husband and wife. That's one boundary. I'm going to talk about that. Another boundary is parents and children. It's a boundary. Another boundary is between friends, people who call each other friends. Friendship has a boundary. Parenthood has a boundary. Marriage has a boundary. Boss and employer has a boundary. Man and God has a boundary. And today, I want to talk to you about boundaries. My friend, first of all, husband and wife boundaries. Marriage, my friend, creates boundaries, borders. Are you listening to me? Don't look at me so holy now. Some of you, maybe even before you come this morning, you fight with your wife. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Husband and wife, the minute you say you are my wife, I am your husband, like that, you give your promise to God and to people, you are creating a boundary in the society. Are you listening to me? And these borders and boundaries should be defined in marriage. You know why marriages are kaput? Because there is no boundaries in marriage. Hey, are you listening to me? When you say I am married, it means you are bound to somebody. And when you are bound to somebody, you are in the boundary of marriage. That means goodbye world. Me, I no longer belong to you. I made my mind. Hello. You see, the moment you say I am married, that means the things that you used to do, you can't do anymore. Because you are married. Hello. The club offering is, it seems like women like this message. Marriage has a boundary. Marriage keeps you in boundary. But when marriage boundaries are broken, that marriage will shake. That marriage is dangerous. Hello. When you say I am married, it means you are in a boundary. boundary. And the problem is, my friend, you cannot do anything you like to do when you are married. Marriage has a boundary and marriage must compromise. Oh, you are not listening to me. You cannot, listen, the minute you are dishonoring your wife by shouting at her and calling her a bitch, you are passing the boundary of respect. And don't come to me and say, my wife is not listening to me, your wife is not listening to you, because you pass the borders of respect. Hey. You see, marriage has a boundary. There is a boundary. There is a border between husband and wife. You can't just say anything you like to your wife. Say, because she's my wife. You cannot say anything you like to your husband because he's your husband. There should be respect. There should be honor. There should be integrity. There should be love. And when those borders are broken apart, when they are teared out, that marriage is shaking. When you begin to talk to your wife with disrespect, when you begin to talk to your husband with disrespect, you are breaking the boundaries of marriage. Let me give you another example. You break the boundaries of your marriage when your wife asks you, honey, our washing tap is leaking. Can you make it? You say, I have no time for it. But sister so-so and so call you in the midnight. You jump with the car to go to her house to make the tap of that woman. You are breaking the boundaries. Before you fix the tap of your sister or elder in the church, first fix the tap of your own house. Boundaries in marriage is very important. When you say I am married, it means you can't go to disco and shake your body and your husband sitting home watching television. It's not possible. You are married. You can't go to disco, shake your body anymore. When you are married, you have a boundary. You cannot be 24 hours a day with this friend, that friend, this friend, whereby your husband or your wife is sitting home alone doing nothing, and tomorrow he starts a relationship with another somebody, you come to my office, pastor, pray for me. Marriage has a boundary. The minute you try to respect your wife, she will bite you back. And when that curtain of respect is destroyed, then anything can happen in marriage. That's why people beat each other. That's why people curse each other in marriage. They throw things to each other. Telephone or you know something. Why? Because that dignity in marriage is gone. You want respect? Be in the borders of respect. You want honor? Be in the borders of honor. You want dignity? Be in the borders of dignity. Oh. Hey. I'm talking to you, sir. You see, we have problems these days. We have problems in our marriages. We have problems in our relationships. I'm not talking about marriage only today, but know your borders. You cannot just do anything you want to do. Marriage has borders. Parents and children. Parenthood has a border. Listen to me, my friend. You as a father, you as a mother, you as an uncle, you as an auntie must give borders to your children. Hey, you are not listening. Are you listening to me, somebody? You see, parents parent and children, there is a border. The moment you call somebody father, you call somebody mother, you are entering into a border. Parenthood has what? A border. Children, listen to me, should be bound to your borders. But when you don't make borders, when you don't create borders, your children will be borderless. Yesterday, I was passing through the city of Amsterdam, Southeast, and I've seen so many boys and girls playing football in the middle of a dangerous football game. And I was thinking to myself, where is the boundary for these children? Where are the parents? My friend, the more a child is playing outside, the more he goes out of his boundary. And tomorrow, if he received drug, if he received this and that, don't cry and say, my son is a devil. No, my friend, you did not define boundaries. Define boundaries for your children. My child will not go outside and play in the street because I have made boundary to my child. It's not always the problem of children. We adults are the problems. We don't give boundary to our children. They do what they like to do. They move what they like to move. They say what they like to say. No, my friend, we need to give boundary to our children. And parenthood also need respect. If you call names to your children, you call names, bad names, and then you look like your father. Exactly, you are like your father. Don't think that that child will keep on respecting you. You see, you deal with the child with respect, he will deal back to you with respect. Are you listening to me? Everything has a border, my friend. Everything has a border. Even your children, you need to define border to them. With my children, it's not allowed to them to walk in the street during the week. They need to come home. They need to read. They need to study. They need to play their computer. No problem. Everything allowed. But to play outside in the street, only small hours. You need to come home. But what are we doing in whole world, in our ghettos? Boys and girls are outside doing anything they want. Where are the parents? Home watching TV. Bold and beautiful. Good time and bad time. As the world turns. As you are watching, as the world turns, your child is turning somewhere. Be careful. Be careful. That's why I'm challenging you, parents. Watch out over your children. Give borders to your children. Now, I don't say go beat them, because some people, they have lack of knowledge in the Bible. They say, the Bible said we have to beat our children, because there is a verse in the Bible, you remember, that use the rod. Use a stick to direct your child. That's a wrong interpretation. You know why? Because in the Old Testament, the Jewish people, they were not allowed to touch the Holy Bible with their bare finger, because they say we are a sinner, we cannot touch scriptures. So the scriptures, we defile them if we touch them with our finger. So therefore, they used a stick, they used rod to show the scripture. Without touching the Bible with the finger, they used the rod to show. That is what the Bible means. It means when your child is disobeying you, show him the ways of God. But let me tell you something. If the child sees you yourself are not following the ways of God, why he follow? A child, listen to me, a child is a mirror of his parents. My children don't use the word F this and that. You know why? Because I don't use it at home. My children don't spit poo in the front of this and that, because I don't do that. Hello. We are quiet now. There is a border in every relationship. If you want your child become a man and a woman of dignity, you start with yourself. You begin to be a man of dignity. You begin to be a woman of dignity and set borders for your children. In this society, we need borders. Borders are not bad. Hallelujah. I was shocked yesterday. I saw this. Even some of our own children I saw in the street. One car almost hit them. They're playing football in the middle of dangerous road. Why? Because the parents are not there. You see, you need to make borders. Let me give you an example. When I was 18 years old, legally I am already adult. Me, my mother, I live in my mother's house. She said to me, 11, you are home. I'm 18 years old man. 18 years old man. Mother said, 11 o'clock, you are home. I come 11:30. I bell, the woman don't open. I bell, brr, the woman don't open. Then after many belling, she took the phone. She said, tonight, you sleep in the basement. You will learn next time, you will not come late. Then me, I sleep in the basement. Next day, I know. When I say 11, I am 11. Are you listening to me? I was 18, 19 years old. I was already dating with mama. Where is she? Somewhere here in the building. I was already dating. So my mother bought for me a very beautiful umbrella. A very nice one. Beautiful umbrella. It was raining. So one day I'm going to Leiden University. I forgot my umbrella in the train. So I'm come home. I have an appointment with my mother-in-law to go somewhere. I don't have car. I need to take the train. And I want to take my umbrella. I forgot the umbrella. And it is raining like shower. Raining like is you can take a shower. So I went to my mom. I said, can I borrow your umbrella? My son, where is your umbrella? I said, oh, sorry. I forgot it in the train. He said, then you walk and become wet. Next time you learn not to forget. You see, make boundaries for your children. Make boundaries for your husbands. If you are to lose with your husband, tomorrow he will be loose to you. A husband wants to see a feast. A husband wants to see, hey, you are my husband. You're supposed to be home at 11 o'clock, but every time you are coming late. And the husband will see, hey, the woman is serious. Be strong. Stand up for your rights. Hey, we are quiet now, eh? Make boundaries. Later, I'm coming to tell you about boundaries, what boundaries can do. I'm only preaching now. It's introduction. So you need to have borders with your children. And children must have borders with their parents. Amen? The way you train them, they're going to train the others. You know why some children, they become criminal, they go bad way, they go wrong way? Because there is no border. There is no control. I know, I never forget the story of a big criminal in somewhere in Russia. A big criminal. That criminal, you know, he's a serial killer. I don't know what he was. He was in prison and the mother went one time to meet him. So when the mother went to meet him, my brother, that criminal bite the ear of the mother out. And the mother cried, why did you do that? He said, mother, you know why? Because when I was outside playing in the street, doing some things, you were not there telling me, don't do it, son. Because when I went and I stole my first apple, you didn't scold me and you didn't tell me that I should not do it. When I went out and I stole my bicycle for the first time, you did not scold me. Mother, I count you responsible for the people that I am today. My friend, you can make your child to become Barack Obama, or you can make your child to become the biggest criminal in town. But you can do it. You, my friend, you and I. You can make your child to be a Barack Obama, and you can make your child to be a nobody. Make borders. Borders are good. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Borders.
Borders, my friend. Not only between parents, between friends. Friendship has a border, my friend. When I call you friend, it doesn't mean you need to come and take over everything. One time God was in a meeting with many people whom he called friend. A man entered. Everybody stood up to greet him, but God didn't stand up. He went to God and said, God, why don't you stand up when I come in? I'm your friend. He said, I'm afraid when I stand up, you take my place. It's a joke. Friendship has a border. Listen to me. In my life, in the past 20 years, I learned a big lesson. First, I will never do business with a friend. I learned my life. I never do business with a friend. If a friend needs me, I will help him. But I will not do business with a friend, nor with a family. That's my lesson. Because money can destroy friendship, family, dignity. I have my border. I'm telling you, I learned my lesson. With friends, you don't do business. Friends, you help them. You help them unconditionally. If they need your help, you are there helping them. But making business with them, never do, my friend. You will be sorry. But I thought you are my friend. Yes, sir. But that's why. That's exactly why. We are friends, you know. You understand. I can steal your money. You are my friend, huh? No problem. God gave, God take away. Let's see. Hello. Friendship has a border. I have borders in my relationship. Because if you don't have a border in your relationship, then what is the difference between a friend and a father or a mother or a husband or a child? Make borders in your friendship. Very important. Very important. Borders of dignity, respect, integrity is very important in friendship. Friendship has a border. And let me tell you something. One road direction friendship is not a friendship at all. A friendship that says, give me, give me, give me, is not a friendship. A friendship that always give, 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 is also not a friendship. There is always a balance. Hey, we are very quiet today, huh? No problem. I am teaching you these things so that you and I will stand on our feet in these days that are so hard to stand upon. Hello. Friendship has what? A border. Boss and employer has a employee, has a border. You can't say, I'm making a contract with you to work somewhere in the factory or wherever in hotel. And contract is at 8 o'clock, you come at 12. It's not possible. There is a border in everything. There is border in marriage. There is border in friendship. There is border in children and parents. There is border in job. There is borders in society. Hello. But there is another border. And that is the border of God to man. And that is why God sent the Ten Commandments to us. That is why God said, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not covet. They are boundaries to us. You know why? Because before the time of Moses, everybody did whatever he wanted. But God gave us law. God bound us to the law. And we should bind ourselves to God. And we should bind ourselves to Jesus. And when we say we believe in Jesus Christ, it means there are some things that we used to do, we cannot do anymore. When you say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, you make a boundary to yourself that I am a follower of Jesus. I will try my best not to lie. I will try my best not to steal. I will try my best to be a man of integrity. I will try my best to do an honest business. I will try my best to be a good husband. I will try my best to be a good wife. I will try my best to be a good citizen because I am a follower of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. You can't say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ and go and do anything, devilish thing you want to do. It's not possible. I was watching a television program. There were mafia, you know, mafia people. They are going to rob a bank. They are praying together in the name of Jesus. Make this robbery to be successful in thy eyes. Oh God, let us kill them in the right way. You can't do that. If you are a Christian, you cannot pray God to help you to rob a bank. If you are a Christian, you cannot do certain things because that makes you different than the people of the world. When you are a Christian, you have to love, you have to forgive, you have to care, you have to bless. Hey, that makes you different than other people. My question is, even is God Christian? Even maybe God himself is tired of Christianity. Christianity that robs people, Christianity that steals from people, Christianity that forces people to sell their homes and this and that to give to the pastor to buy a benzene station here and there. That God is tired of that Christianity, and that is not Christianity. Hey, I feel like preaching. Even to be a pastor, you have a border. You see, it is very easy for me to manipulate. Huh? It's really, honestly, easy. But what is my border? Shall I manipulate this brother to get what I want? Or shall I stay in my border and say, yes, we are in the difficult times. We are going through financial crisis in the whole world. It is easy to manipulate. It is easy to ask people to give money and they will become millionaire, this and that. But people are tired of that. And God is also tired of that. We need to have our boundaries. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? When you say you are a Christian, when I say I am a Christian, I must do my best to be a Christian. I must do my best to be a follower of Christ. I must keep myself in the boundaries of dignity and integrity and righteousness and honesty and grace and mercy. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, are you listening to me tonight, today? Praise God. Now, I want to give you some functions and we're going to pray, but listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. Borders have functions. Can I tell you some? Borders keep you in balance. Borders keep you in balance. Borders say, ho, 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 you are going too far. Whoa, 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 you are.